Father, in the name of Jesus. Lord, we thank you once again this morning for an opportunity to be in the house of God. The Bible says, my house shall be the house of prayer. It is the place where we come together to worship the Lord, to fellowship with one another, and to hear the word of the Lord. The entrance of your word always gives light. And today we ask that that word will give the light in our hearts this morning. In Jesus' name. Lord, glorify thyself in thy word. And let it be a blessing to our hearts. And everybody said, amen. Praise the Lord. Are you all awake this morning? Well, I don't know what it is, but I get a feeling that some of you are kind of half awake. And but I'm excited every time I come to the house of the Lord. You know, I mean, I don't know about anybody else, but, you know, it's a good time, you know, an opportunity to come in the house of the Lord. Today, I want to share a few words with us. And I am going to be speaking this morning on the subject of thy will be done. Now, thy will be done. That's my subject this morning. Thy will be done. Now, you know, one time the disciples, they came to Jesus and they said, Lord, teach us how to pray and so forth like that. And you know, in Matthew chapter 6, here's what Jesus said. You know, of course, he answered that question in a different place, but also here's what he said when he was talking on the subject of prayer. In Matthew chapter 6, and I'm going to read from verse 6. He says, for thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and shut your door, and pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which is in secret shall reward thee openly. But thou, see, when you pray. So he's going to tell them now. So when you pray, use not vain repetitions. Now some people think that, you know, you just repeat the same thing, just babble on and on. You think that's what prayer is? No. Jesus said, don't use vain repetitions, as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. See, I mean, they, you know, stand up, make a big show, you know, and use long, big, great words, and saying the thing over and over again, as if the Lord didn't hear. He said, no, don't do that. He said, but here's how, what you do. After this manner, therefore, pray ye, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Now, that's the first thing. We want to approach the Lord and hallow his name. And then he said, thy kingdom come, and thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. So that's my subject this morning, is thy will be done. And I'm going to read, you know, there are a couple of examples that I'm going to give from the Bible this morning. Then we're going to talk a little bit, and I'm going to share with you what the Lord told me to tell the church this morning on the subject of thy will be done. His will, that is, his will be done in our lives. I want you to turn with me to Ephesians chapter 5, and I'm going to read at verse 17. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 17. And the Bible says in this verse that we should not be unwise, but we should understand what the will of the Lord is. He said, be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Now, what is the will of the Lord? You know, now, again, remember the subject this morning is that will be done. And this is the ultimate. What we are talking about today is the ultimate in the Father-Son relationship. See, that's the ultimate. We're going to be talking about the perfect submission. I mean, Jesus said in John chapter 5 and verse 30, if you want to turn with me to John chapter 5 and verse 30, here's what Jesus said about himself and his relationship with the Father. And this is the way it should be for us as well. Here's what he said in John chapter 5 and verse 30. He says, the Son, see, can do nothing of himself. Now that's John chapter 5. I'm going to read John chapter 5 and verse 19. Let me start there. John 5 and 19. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he seeth the Father do. For what things soever he doeth, this also doeth the Son likewise. And then verse 30 of the same chapter, I can of my own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not my own will, but the will of my Father, which has sent me. So the Lord Jesus said, I seek not my own will, but the will of the Father, which has sent me. Now, I am sure that everybody here knows the reason why the Lord Jesus was sent into this world. He came to die for our sins. And when the hour came, that it approached to the time that he would go to the cross. See, now all of a sudden, you know, he took a few of his disciples to go out to pray. And he said, you stay over here and pray with me for a while. You know, and he said, my soul is exceeding sorrowful unto death. Now, because, you know, looming in front of him is the one moment that he was going to be separated from the Father. And he was going to become sin. And he, you know, he just wasn't, you know, quite sure if he wanted to go through with it. You know, and here's what happened. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 26. I'm going to read 38 and 39. Here's what Jesus said. Matthew 26, 38 and 39. Now, Jesus, he was praying about going to the cross. And he was going to be separated. He was going to be made sin for us. You know, and he said, my soul is exceeding sorrowful even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. And he went a little farther and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. And so he said, you know, he wanted to get out of it. You know, but he said, well, if it's possible, let me not have to go through with this. But he said, nevertheless, not as I want. And that's the absolute submission to the will of the Father. You know, he was going to have to go through this thing, but he, you know, the flesh didn't want to go through it, but he prayed and said, nevertheless, not as I will, but I will be done. You know, and as he continued, of course, we know the angel of the Lord came and he strengthened him. You know, so the reward for his obedience, for his perfect submission to the will of the Father, is given to us in Philippians chapter 2, if you want to turn with me, and verse 5. He says, let this mind be also in you, which was in Christ Jesus. Now, Jesus Christ, he was already in the form of God. But he thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon himself the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of man. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death. You know, the death where he was praying, he had said, Lord, if it be possible, take this cup away from me. But if not, then let me be submissive to thy will, he prayed. You know, I mean, not as I want, but as thou want. And here's what the Lord did for him, you know, because of the way that he went through with it, and, you know, relinquished his own will into the will of the Father. Here's what the Lord did for him. And being found in fashion as a man, Philippians 2:8, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore, God also has highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, can I get an amen? Amen. At the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. Of things in heaven and of things in the earth and things under the earth. And every tongue should confess. Now, you know, a lot of people have read this verse. And most of the time when we even talk about this verse, we talk about how Jesus humbled himself. But I'm talking about something else this morning. There's an aspect in this that you may not have considered. It is beyond the humility. It is his total submission to the will of the Father. See, he wanted to so badly do the will of the Father that even at his own peril, he would go through with it. He said, I wish I could get out of it, but I've got to do what the Father wants. And he put himself in a place where he would submit to the will of the Father at no matter what the cost. He would submit to the will of the Father. And God has highly exalted him because of that. Now I'm going to tell you the story. You may say, well, that's Jesus and all that. That was easy for him to do. Well, turn with me to Genesis chapter 22. And let's review this story about Abraham. Now, I'm going to paraphrase the story. I'm going to read some verses and I'll paraphrase the rest of it some, you know, just so we move along here because of time. Now, Genesis chapter 22. This is the story of Abraham and Isaac and the sacrifice, you know, that God asked him to make of Isaac. But just in case, you know, you don't know the background behind all of this, let me read it to you in Genesis 15. In Genesis 15, the Lord appeared to Abraham and said, Abraham, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. You know, the Lord told him, I am your exceeding great reward. And he gave him all of these wonderful things about him being his shield and so forth. So Abraham, he challenged the Lord. And he said, well, Lord, you know, what are you going to do for me then? Because I'm childless, see. Are you telling me you are my great reward and so forth? So what are you going to do for me? So the Lord, he gave him this promise, you know. And you know the rest of the story, how, you know, the Lord gave him the promise and so forth like that. And his seed would all the nations of the earth be blessed. And at one time, his wife, Sarah, being 90 years old and so forth like that. And, you know, they thought it couldn't be done. But finally, you know, and even Sarah thought that the way that God was going to do it was through Hagar. So they planned that and, you know, Abraham went and had a baby by Hagar and so forth. And God said, no, that's not the way it's coming. You stay and hold on and wait for the promise. And finally, when the promise came, this was a promised seed. Isaac. When he came, God told him, cast out the born woman because, you know, her child is not going to be here with the child of the free woman. So when the promise came, this was the thing that God had promised Abraham all his life. You know, before he changed his name to Abraham, his name was Abraham. And I've said it in this church before. I mean, can you just imagine what happened? I mean, Abraham means father of many nations. So here's Abraham going about proclaiming himself to be father of many nations, and he doesn't even have a child. You know, so, I mean, he's every day, he's telling the people that I'm going to be the father of all nations. And here he is, you know, he's 75 years old, and he doesn't even have a single child. And 25 years go by, and he still didn't have a child. But he's going about saying he's the father of all nations. So finally, when he gets this child, so Abraham is 100 years old, and Sarah is 90 years old, and so they get this child finally. And Abraham, he looked at this child. This is the promise, he thought. See? And this child became such a special thing to him because he had waited for this promise for 25 years. And finally he got a hold of this child and he wouldn't let him go. And he was, you know, this child, see, became first place in his life. See, you may not know that, but you see, the Lord will not have second place in our lives.
Hallelujah.
He will have first place or no place at all. See, he will be first or he will be nothing in your life. How many of you say amen to that? He will not be replaced by your dream. He will not be replaced by your vision, by your goals, by your aspirations, by your successes, by your achievements, by whatever you have. See, the very promise that God gave to Abraham became a stumbling block to him. So finally, God was going to test him at that promise. See, the thing that you hold dearest in your heart, this is where this message is at this morning. The thing that you hold dearest in your heart is what God wants you to give up.
Yes,
and until you come to that point, and many of you that are struggling with some things, and the very thing that God wants for you, which he has promised you, sometimes it's become a stumbling block to you and God wants you to give it up. Now, so let's read the story. Genesis chapter 22. And here's what happened. The Lord said to Abraham, take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest. See, whom thou lovest. See, the Lord knows he loved that boy so much. You know, and get thee up into the Moriah and offer him for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee all. So Abraham, he didn't argue at all with the Lord. Now let me ask you this. Those of you who are parents. Now, if you are not a parent, you probably don't know, you know, how it is that somebody could tell you to go sacrifice your child. But the Lord told Abraham to go sacrifice his child. Now, I guarantee you, if the Lord told any of us that here this morning, we probably would rebuke that spirit. I said, that can't be from the Lord. See, you know, and he said, it's got to be the voice of the devil, you know, and so forth like that. You know, but Abraham, he knew the voice of the Lord. See, that's why I read Ephesians 5:17, understanding what the will of the Lord is. Now, Abraham, he knew the voice of the Lord, and he did not even contest it. He did not even argue that cannot, how can the Lord tell me to? He knew. And he prepared, and he went and took the child, and he made his journey and so forth. And he got to a place, and he told his servants, you all wait here. My son and I will go, verse 5 of Genesis 20:22. Abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again. You know, Abraham knew that even if he slew the child, the Lord was able to raise him up. You know, now. So Abraham, he took the wood, he took all of these things, and he laid the child on the thing, the altar, and he was ready. He put forth his hand, the Bible says. He put forth his hand in verse 10 and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him from heaven and said, Abraham. And he said, Here I am. Lay not thy hand upon the child, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest the Lord, seeing that thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. You know, and the Lord began to tell him, you know, some things and so forth. And here's what happened. Verse 16. By myself have I sworn, because thou hast done this thing. Now, here is where we are going with this today. When you can put yourself in a place where you absolutely surrender to the will of God. Now, everybody quotes this promise that God gave to Abraham. But it wasn't without the price. The promise where he said, surely, blessing, you know, the Bible even said that, but for finding no greater, he swore by himself. This is the place. That in blessing I will bless thee, he said in verse 17, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed forever. And he gave him this everlasting covenant because of the perfect submission that Abraham did to the will of God. How many of you can say amen to that? Amen. Now, look at the great blessing that came from perfectly submitting to the will of God. Now, if Abraham would have argued, if he would have held back, he probably would not have got that promise. But the Lord told him, now I know that you fear the Lord, and I know that you have not withheld your son from me. Therefore, I swear by myself that in blessing I will bless you, and in multiplying I will multiply you, and your seed shall be like the sands of the heaven. And God told him this incredible promise, of which we are still being in the blessing today. The reason you are here today is that very blessing that God gave to Abraham because of his submission. Now, that promise came to Abraham out of what God would give him for submitting to the will of God. Now, Abraham followed and obeyed the voice of the Lord. The Lord also, Jesus, he followed and obeyed the will of the Father, even at his own peril. You know, he knew what the Father wanted, and he was going to do it at every cost. Now, that is the true test of sonship. The son will do what the Father wants, no matter the cost. That's what Jesus told us. Now, here's what the Lord wants to tell us this morning. The very thing, there are some things that are hindering you from getting into a closer walk with God. I mean, we come to church, we shout the victory and so forth like that. And that's wonderful. But you must get into a closer walk with God. You must get into the place of sonship where God can say of you, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. And when he said that of Jesus, I've said that in this church before. Jesus had not done one single miracle. He was about to enter into his ministry. He came and was baptized, you know, of John the Baptist, and then he went to the wilderness and fasted for 40 days and 40 nights, and then he came out. See, all of these things and so forth. You know, so, you know, he hadn't done a single thing. But because he was perfectly submitted to the Father, the Lord said to him, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Now, who then is that beloved Son today in whom the Lord is going to be well pleased? Here's what happens. You know, Jesus, one time, a man in Luke chapter 18, starting at verse 18, one of the rulers, turn with me to Luke 18 and verse 18. One of the rulers of Israel and so forth, he came to Jesus and asked him a question. He said, "Good master, what must I do to be saved?" See? And Jesus turned around and looked at him and said, "Why callest thou me good?" See? There's only one good but God. And God, Jesus began to tell him, "Well, you know the commandments. You know, thou shalt not do this and thou shalt not do that and so forth like that." This man said, "I've done all of these things from my youth and up." See? And the Lord looked at him and he loved him. That's the version in Mark chapter 10. He said, the Lord looked at him and said, "Wow," he loved him. But now the Lord tells him, he said, "There is one thing remain." And now this is the thing that I want to talk about this morning. For every one of you that is seated here, there is one thing that is remaining. For this young man, there was one thing that was remaining. And then the Lord looked at him. He was a very rich man. So the Lord finally said to him, "Well, see, you've kept all these commandments from your youth and up. And that's wonderful." See, that's wonderful, the Lord told him. He said, "But here's what you need. Now you go sell everything that you have and give it to the poor. And then come and follow me." And what happened? How many of you know what happened after that? The Bible says he went away sorrowful because he had many possessions. And Jesus, he turned around and looked at his disciple and said, "How scarcely will the rich people enter into the kingdom of God?" And then they said, "Lord, what do you mean by that?" And he explained, he said, "Well, those that trust in riches." See? If they trust in their riches and so forth. So this young man, he trusted in his riches and God said, "Give it up." See, the very thing that you hold dearest to you is the very thing that God wants you to give up. And until you can give it up, you're not ready for that perfect relationship of Son and Father. You must give up the very thing. It might be a dream. It might be God that even gave you a vision. And you're holding it so that God wants you to give it up. Jesus said in John chapter 12 and verse 24, "Except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abides alone." See, God will want you to give it up. But when it dies, it brings forth much fruit. Jesus said, "He that will love his life will lose it. But he that will lose his life for my sake, he will gain it unto eternal life." Now, if you are holding on to something so dear, you are going to lose it. But if you relinquish it to God, then you will gain it. The secret of great blessing, great power, and great favor with God is to be in a position where you relinquish your will into his will. Where you can say, "Lord, not my will be done, but thy will be done." Hallelujah. Anything that you are praying for, now even though God has given us free will, see, when God made man and put him upon the face of the earth, he gave Adam the free will. He said to him, you know, "Enjoy the garden. Do anything you want." See, but don't go over there. Don't mess with that tree. See? And he told him all of the things that he could do and so forth. But he could have prevented him from doing it. You know, but he gave him free will. But he wanted Adam to submit to God's will out of his own free will. See, that's the thing with God. Even though he gives you your will, he wants it back. How many of you are still with me now? He gives you your free will, but he wants it back. And he said to me, I'm going to read. I wrote this morning. He said, read this to the church. He said, you must relinquish your will into mine. Your desire into my divine purposes. You know, Jesus one time he said, as the heaven is high above the earth, so high is my way, higher than yours. My thoughts are far removed from yours. See, so his purposes are higher than. He said, this is the secret of great favor and power with God. Say, behold, say the Lord, give it all back to me. See, your dreams, your visions, your desires, your wishes, your achievements, your crowns, your fame, your honor, your glory, even your very life is mine. Amen. He said, it's mine. Give it all back to me. He said, it's mine. Yes, sir. It is surely his. You know, out of every good gift and perfect thing comes from above. You know, for us to be in this room right now enjoying this beautiful air condition and everybody feeling good about it, it's from God. Hallelujah. Even though it looks so simple and it looks so detached from God, yes, it is from God. Every good and perfect thing is from God. If you have a great idea, you wake up in the morning, you have an idea for business or for success, and it works, it's from God. I don't care what you think, I don't care what you know, it is from God if it is good. Because that's what the Bible says. Every good and perfect thing comes from God. But God wants it all back. See, that's the way it works. When you give it all back to Him, when you surrender your will, then you are in that place of true sonship. You know, God, He has given us free will. See, you can say, well, I can do anything I want. Sure, you can do anything you want. You know, but there's a price for everything we do. See, you can do anything you want. You can go out here, you know, and do all these kind of things. But there's a price for it. The Bible even says in Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 1 to the young people. You say, you young people, you say, well, remember the Lord in the days of your creation. You see, in the days, remember the Creator in the days of your youth. Because, you know, the days are coming and so forth. You know, in the future, you're not going to have pleasure in all of these things. So you better remember the Lord now. Some people say, well, you see, I can do anything I want. Well, you can do anything you want, but the Lord wants you to do according to His will. See, when we do according to His will, He said, whosoever honoreth me, glorifieth me.
Hallelujah.
When you honor Him by submitting your will, in Revelation chapter 4, the Bible says, the 24 beings, the elders, they cast their crowns before the Lord. All of their achievements, everything that they ever were, everything they ever got, everything they ever made on earth, they cast it before the Lord. Today, God wants your will. See, that is the thing that He gave us that is above everything else. See, when He made the heavens, the stars, you know, and all of the planets and so forth, till this day, they looked unto the Lord. The Bible says, and were enlightened. You know, did you ever think of that? The sun itself gets its brightness just from looking at the Lord. The Bible says they looked unto the Lord and they were enlightened. God, one time, He spoke, until today, it stands fast. See, one time. He doesn't have to say it every day. He said, thou sun, be light in the day. And thou moon, be light in the night. And that's it. It's said it one time, and that's the way it is till this very day. But all of those things and so forth like that, all the animals and all the works of His creation and everything He did, He didn't give any of them free will like He did us. He didn't make them in His own image like He did us. He made us in His own image and gave us that free will. And then He wants you to turn around and give it back to Him. And when you can do that, that is the place of perfect submission. And until you can do that, some of you will be struggling with some things. You know, one time, you know, I had a situation that I was praying about and so forth. So many years ago when the Lord taught me, this was in 1983, He taught me this thing that I'm preaching to you this morning for the first time. And it was something that was so dear to me that I wanted the Lord to do so badly. You know, and I was a young man then, and I when I was young, till this day also too. See, I believe in faith. See, but when I was young, you know, I had this incredible faith. You know, I believed more in my faith than I believed in anything else. And I just knew that I could believe for anything. And it worked. You know, it didn't matter. And I believed in love for anything. As I grew older, well, you know, my God all of a sudden started to get bigger. You know, and now I knew that it wasn't exactly my faith. It was the greatness of God.
Amen.
You know. And it didn't matter whether I had big faith, little faith, or whatever. I could stand back now and see God. You see the salvation of the Lord. Of course, God is always still amazed at great faith. Always. He never likes unbelief. He used to rebuke them and say, oh, ye of little faith. But he was always impressed when he saw great faith. He would say, wow, I've never seen so great faith in Israel. So great faith is good, and so forth like that. So I was praying for the, you know, this thing from the Lord and so forth. And I wanted it so badly. And you know how the scripture says, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive and you shall have them. And I stuck to my guns. I said, Lord, you said whatever I desire. And I desire this way, you know. And it wasn't even anything, you know, out of the ordinary. It wasn't even anything out of his will. See, we were just coming into the country here in 1983. I had some papers with the Department of Justice and so forth like that. And, you know, there was some thing, you know, that the papers were turned upside down and so forth. And this was, you know, this was when we were immigrating to the United States and so forth. And I was in a situation where I faced a denial of the whole process. You know, and I got some letters from the Department of Justice then and so forth. And then I just laid the papers before the Lord and I prayed. And, I knew the Lord wanted us, you know, the Lord sent me here. I knew that. And then I knew that it was the Lord's will to grant my prayers, you know. But the Lord said, I was praying, I said, Lord, I want you to do such and such, and I want you to do this and so forth, do it by this time and do this and so forth like that. And I prayed all this prayer and so forth, you know. And then the Holy Spirit said, give it all back to me. Amen. You know, and I said, give it all back to you. You know, and you know, I mean, it was the hardest thing for me to pray that prayer then, to say, Lord, thy will be done. It was a very hard prayer. Because I said, I know it is your will that it be this way. You know, because that's what your word said. The Lord said, no. Give it all back to me. And I struggled with that prayer for a while, you know. And then finally I said, I was a young man then, many years ago. And finally the Lord, he made me realize that his will was supreme. Hallelujah. And I said, Lord, finally I just broke down. I said, Lord, yes, this is the way I want it. But nevertheless, thy will be done. And I guarantee you, and this is the truth before the Lord, and I will answer. I'm not someone like to use the name of the Lord like me. You know, because you will answer for every idle word. And this is the truth before the Lord. Just as soon as I prayed that prayer, you know, it was the next day the whole thing was reversed in my favor. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Now, some of you today, there are some things that you are holding on to that you are believing God for. But you have not learned to say, thy will be done. Yes, I know the scripture says, if you can believe, all things are possible. God is supreme. You see, God is sovereign. See, you will never figure God all out. God has the full picture and he only gives you a little piece of the puzzle. And sometimes we think we know everything just because of the little piece we have. You know, now yes, God does say that what things soever we desire when we pray, we should believe and we will receive it. You know, but God is still sovereign. And he can choose, see, to do things not the way that we want. In fact, God can answer the prayer that you are praying in more ways than you can think. That's what the Bible says. You know, but most of the time we are focused on one thing. You know, we're focused on what it is you want the Lord to do for you. Praise the name of the Lord. You know, 5 years ago or 6 years ago, I don't know, you know, I was hospitalized all my life. I had never been sick. You know, and you know, I had hardly even been in the hospital. And I remember one time in a service, people were giving testimony about healing and all of these things that they were doing and God was doing for them and so forth. And I was like, I don't know what they're talking about because I'd never been healed. You know, they had a healing, never had a healing testimony. And then I was sitting right there and God said, but I gave you something better. He gave me divine health. You know, and one time, God was going to finally show himself to me. You know, that way, that he can take me through the valley of the shadow of death, and he can bring me through. How many of you say praise the Lord? You know, and when I faced that dark hour, some of you know the story. You know, and I prayed, you know, I was like, you know, I mean, I wanted that it wouldn't be, but it was. You know, and it wasn't because I didn't have anything, but it was because God wanted to show me an aspect. See, every good and perfect gift comes from above. I mean, even the wisdom that the Lord gave the doctors to help me comes from above. See, and some of you don't know that. See, some people say, and some people are even so rigid. They won't even take any help from doctors and so forth like that because, you know, they want God to heal them in a certain way. Well, you know, I believe in the power of miracles. And you come to this 3-day meeting and you'll see it. You know, and you know, one time Jesus, he said, thy sins be forgiven thee. You know, and you know, and they looked at him and they said, who can forgive sin but God? Well, they should have known that he was God. Praise the Lord. But Jesus said, well, which is easier for me to say, thy sins be forgiven or take up thy bed and walk? Which is easier? You know, I'm going to ask you today, which is easier to say? I mean, some people have never really understood that question. I mean, which is easier? I mean, it's actually easier for me to say thy sins be forgiven. It's easier. Because you won't know whether his sins are forgiven or not. But if a cripple comes here, and I say, take up your bed and walk, and all of a sudden he can't take up his bed, or, you know, then it looks bad on me, doesn't it? You know, so it's kind of hard, you know, to just say, take up your bed and walk. But Jesus was content to save the man's soul, because that was beyond the physical healing.
Yes.
See? But just so that they would know that the Son of Man had power on earth to forgive sin. One time, last year I was in Nigeria for a 6-week ministration all over the place. And one of the meetings, you know, and I was talking, I was preaching on righteousness and so forth, and the Holy Spirit, he moved on my heart. And I sensed this in the audience, and he said, and I said to the people, I said it just exactly the way Jesus said it. I said, just because we are preaching this way, because God wants you to live a righteous life. That's the first thing. But just in case you think it is because there is no power, that's why we're preaching this way, I said, we will now minister to the sick. Praise you in the name of the Lord. And boy, I tell you, miracles on every side. See, now God, he wants to do everything for us that we want. But he has his own ways. Sometimes you are praying and believing God and you have your own schedules and you have your own timetable and so forth. Well, see, the Lord is gone beyond. And he knows what he is doing. If you will only relinquish your will into his, you can get all your prayers answered. This is the secret of answered prayers. I don't know how else to tell it to you. If in every single prayer, I don't care whether you are believing God for finances. You know, I believe in all these miracles. You know, I believe in miracles for finances. I believe in all these good things. But I don't care what you're believing for. You know, anything that you're believing the Lord for, if you can take one step back and say, Lord, this is the way I want it. Nevertheless, that will be done. And if you can truly get to the place where you can pray that prayer out of your heart, I guarantee you the Lord will answer your prayer every time. He will answer the prayer every time. How many of you say amen to that?
Amen.
The will of God for us is that we prosper and be in health. We know that. 3 John and verse 2. But in every situation, God might have a higher purpose and a higher will. I told you one time the story of Elijah. When God said to him, Elijah, after he pronounced the famine, and God said to him, go to such and such a place because there I have commanded the ravens to feed you. And when the brook dried up, and I asked the church one time and I said, could not the Lord have prevented the brook from drying up? And I'm going to ask you again this morning. The Lord who sent Elijah down that path, could he not have prevented that brook from drying up? Could he? Yeah, of course. He could have done it. But the Lord, he allowed the brook to dry up for a reason. See? Because the Lord was fixing to do something new. And some of you are still holding on to the same thing that God told you 10 years ago. See? But God may have moved on. You say, God, he never changes. Well, maybe he doesn't, maybe he does. But you need wisdom. See, this is wisdom for you this morning. He told Elijah, go to such and such a place. And Elijah could have said, no, Lord, you told me, come here and the ravens will feed me and so forth. And he could have stayed there and be praying when the brook dried up. And the brook would still be dry. But he had to listen to the Lord. And the Lord said, now it is time for you to get up. Get away from this brook. It's dry now. See, that vision is dead. Yeah. You know, even the Lord one time, he gave them the Old Testament. But for finding fault with them, he changed it. See, you say he changed it? Yes, he did. See, because if the Old Testament had been faultless, then there would have been no need for a new.
Hallelujah.
But because it was not faultless, he changed. Of course, he knew all of these things ahead of time. It's not that he gained any new knowledge. God cannot gain new knowledge.
Amen.
He cannot know anything new.
Amen.
If he does, he would be a mortal man, just like me. But God already knows everything, the end from the beginning. So God told Elijah, get up. Because now he's going to have a 2-for-1 deal. He is going to not only bless Elijah, but he is going to bless the woman as well and her son. See, so God is going to send her over, send him over to Sarepta now, because there's a widow there that will sustain Elijah. But if Elijah would have stayed at the brook, not only would Elijah have starved, that woman would also have starved. But God would now send Elijah over to this place, meet Elijah's need and meet the woman's need. Now when you are believing the Lord for something, don't always expect it your own way. You must be able to say, Lord, thy will be done.
Hallelujah.
Thy will be done not only in bringing the thing to pass, but in the way that you would bring it to pass. Thy will be done. See, God would dry up the brook and send Elijah to some other place. That's the way that he chose to do it. And who is he that great enough, see, to argue with the Lord in what he does? The Bible says he does whatsoever he pleases in the heavens,
yes,
and in the earth. And who can tell him what doest thou? He knows all these things. And he does exactly what he pleases. And if you believe in his greatness, then you will submit to his will. And you will know that his will is a lot better for you than whatever you desire. Let us stand to our feet this morning. Let's stand to our feet this morning. Here's what the Lord wants me to tell you this morning. I'm going to repeat it so you understand. Everything that God ever gave you, whether it's your vision, whether it's your dream, your hopes, your desires, he wants it back. He wants you in a place where you can submit to his will, where you can say, Lord, not my will be done, but thine. And I'm going to pray this morning, and I want you to say, if you believe that the Lord has spoken to you in this message this morning. See, because the will of the Lord is supreme, and we must surrender our will to his. If you believe the Lord has spoken to you in this message this morning, then I'm going to pray with you. And there are the things that may have been challenges to you. Some of you may even have some chronic needs that you've been praying about for years. Give it up to the Lord this morning. I want you to say this morning with me in this prayer, thy will be done, regardless of what I want. There is something that you've been praying for a long time, and you have not received, it seems like, the miracle or the results to your prayers. I want you to give it. The Lord wants you to give it up to him this morning. And as we are going to pray, I am going to ask if you want me to pray for you in this regard. See, why does he always do this? Because, you know, I don't want to come to church without helping everybody that I can. Because I will answer for the time that God put me here to speak this word to his people. So if you are here this morning, if that's you this morning, you know, if you say there is something that I've been praying for a long time, there is a situation that is chronic in your life that has not changed. You've prayed about it for years, maybe for yourself, maybe for a loved one, and it hasn't changed. And you have been praying and believing God and so forth. I want you to lay it down today. I want you to just give it up to the Lord and say, thy will be done. I want everyone that wants that prayer, you step out in the house. and you come out this morning. Don't look at somebody else, because there is a different anointing for every service. And this is the anointing that God gave for today's service. And this is the thing that you have struggled with all your life. It is the vision that you held on to. It is the dream. It's your Isaac. It's whatever it is. God wants you to put it on the altar this morning. He wants you to put it on the altar. And if you can do that, and we're not going to pray that God should solve the problem this morning. I am not going to. God did not send me here this morning to pray that God should solve that problem. He sent me here this morning to tell you to relinquish your hold on that problem. That's all. We are going to relinquish it into the hands of the Lord. We are going to say this morning, Thy will be done, O Father. And then, let us stand back and see what the Lord. Before we pray, I want us to sing this song. I want the pianist to come and help me with this song. We are going to sing this. It says, Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done. Very simple, just two lines. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done. Everybody say, Thy kingdom come, O Lord. Thy will be done. Sing this song and surrender it all to Jesus. Thy will be done. Thy will be done. Sing it again. Thy kingdom come. Yes, Thy will be done, Lord. Thy will be. Thy kingdom come. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done.
Thy will be done.
Thy kingdom. Let us pray with your hands lifted up. See, lifting up our hands is a form of surrender. You know, surrender. Just give up. Say, Lord, I give up. See, just give it up. See, to the Lord. It doesn't mean that you have no faith. It means you are relinquishing your will into Him. That's what He wants us to do this morning. And I'm going to pray for everyone that is here. Let's lift our hands up. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I ask this morning, as we surrender our will into You, that You will move upon the hearts of the people. All of my brethren, your daughters and your sons that have come forward this morning, all the things that have plagued them all these years, the chronic situations in their life, the things they have struggled with, the Isaac in their life that they have held on so dear. He said, it's thy son Isaac, whom you love so dear, whom you held on to so dear, said, lay it on the altar. Today, Lord, we lay the thing that is uppermost in our heart. Brethren, I want you to lay it down. And I want you to pray in your own words. Lift up your voice and call upon the Lord and lay down the thing that you have held dearly the most in your heart. The request that has plagued you for years that you have held on so tightly for, lay down this morning before the Lord. And I want you to say, not my will be done, but thy will be done. No matter which way, thy will be done this morning, Lord. Father, we pray in the name of Jesus, let thy will be done. Let thy will be done in our lives this morning, everyone that is here, Lord. Let thy will be done in Jesus' name. You are praying for a loved one. You have been struggling with this for years. You've been struggling with it for months. Lay it down this morning. You are praying for a vision or a dream that God has put in your heart that is so dear to you. Lay it down this morning. And say, not my will be done, O Lord, but thine be done. You are praying for a situation. It could be for healing. It could be for something else. It could be for financial miracle. It could be for a breakthrough in your life. This is the way that you will get your breakthrough this morning. Lay it down. Give it all back to me, saith the Lord. Give it all back to me, saith the Lord. Your will, even your very life, is mine. Give it all back to me, saith the Lord. Father, this morning we give it all back to you in the name of Jesus. And I want everybody to say, I surrender all. I want you to say, I surrender all. I want you to say, I surrender all. And as we sing this song, I believe the song is in the hymn book. I want those of you who are here, don't leave, but I want the hymn books, please hand them the hymn books. There is a hymn, and I don't know what hymn it is. Somebody help me find it. The hymn that says, I surrender. Unto Jesus, I surrender. All to Jesus, I surrender. Let's sing it today, together this morning, under this anointing, and let us surrender to the Lord. Can I have a hymn book up here, please? Hymn number 25. Hymn number 25. As we surrender all this morning, the Lord is going to fulfill His will in your life. He is going to meet that very need that you have held so dear. The thing that has plagued you for years, the problem, the issue, the challenge, the dream, the vision that has escaped you. Give it up to the Lord this morning in this song.